there's a couple of things that are going around the table. I just wanted to point them out. Chloe created something truly wonderful. Chloe, would you hold it up and show what you did? Chloe drew a Get Well card for Lorianne. And she is inviting all of us to sign it so that there's a wonderful expression of love from Chloe and her brothers and sisters and her family and from all of us. And it is such a thrill to have this expression of outpouring of love from Chloe and from all of us for Lorianne. So are you willing for that to be passed around now? And are you going to pass the markers so it can be colorful, too? That's so thoughtful. Thank you, Chloe.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And there's also the treatment works where we pray for each other in community. So if you have something in your life, a dream that you're wanting to realize or something that you're wanting to change, if you would write that on there. Judy does an incredible job every time of putting all of our requests into an even more positive light and passing them on to everyone on our email list so that our community can be part of praying together. And it's amazing how much love you feel for people when you pray for them. It's a remarkable way to open your heart and feel the blessing yourself of all that good thought and imagining well-being for everybody. So I invite you, as that gets passed around, to write something on there if you choose. I just wanted you to know what all this stuff was that was going around the table if you were new. Pass the cream, yes. The community that greases up together stays together. So we have the softest hands of any group around. So I think I'm ready now. When David does the tape, this is the official start of the talk. 6 months on the law of God and prayer. This has been a remarkable journey for me, as it always is when we take on a new understanding of what we're going to do in study group. And Judy Oliver and I usually sit down and talk about what our vision is for the next series of talks. And it's just been remarkable to have this opportunity to deepen my practice and my experience of spiritual mind treatment for the last 6 months. I've really learned a lot. I've been practicing this philosophy for almost 20 years now. And I was amazed at how much renewed and new appreciation that I had for prayer after spending 6 months thinking about it just about every day from a position of exploring it afresh and approaching it with new eyes. It's just been wonderful. And so I started out, and in January we talked about the law and how God is both expressed as law and as love. And in the next 6 months we're going to talk about the love part. And I'm equally excited, or even more excited, about the next 6 months as I've been on the past 6 months. But as we have focused then on the love, which is how God works in our lives, through matching, mirroring what we put out through our thought and our feeling, law of attraction brings us more. Ernest Holmes called it law of circulation, law of mental equivalence, law of attraction, law of cause and effect. But whatever label we give it, it is all the same law. What we give out returns to us, often multiplied so that we can see it even more powerfully. And one way to activate the law in a way that is purposeful and aware and conscious is to use affirmative prayer or spiritual mind treatment. It's not the only way to activate the law. We activate the law with every thought we have. but becoming more conscious about our activation of the law through a practice of daily prayer and a focus on prayer is such a powerful thing to bring into our lives. Such love. And I believe that Ernest Holmes' invention or description of spiritual mind treatment is one of the most brilliant things that's ever come to the planet in terms of building consciousness and awareness of the presence of spirit within ourselves and within all things. And so I'll just do a quick review of spiritual mind treatment. It's a five-step process. The first step is what God is. It's called recognition. Recognition of what God is. At the level of our understanding of God in this moment, this is what we know God is. There's always more to God. God is infinite and eternal and then beyond time and space. So we are never going to put God in a box. We are never going to describe all that God is. But as we make the attempt to describe what we know about God, it expands our consciousness of what God is. We begin to look for more ways to look at spirit, the way other paths have looked at source, to expand our awareness of what spirit can be. And so that's the first step, recognition what God is. The second step is unification. Because after you say that this is all that God is, and the biggest way you know how to say it today, knowing it'll be bigger tomorrow, then you say, and that is what I am. And I hope with excitement. If you've done a really good job of saying that this is what God is, then it's really exciting to say, and there is oneness. I am made in that same image and likeness. This is what I am. It changes the way you look at everything. Because that infinite, eternal being, knowing, presence, energy that we describe God as is the same experience of light that we are. Wow, that's amazing. Could we bring over another chair for Niambus? Because Chloe and Allison are coming back. And there's a space right there. Thanks for coming. And so we are expanding our knowing of who we are, recognizing that oneness with spirit in ourselves. And as we begin to recognize that oneness of spirit in ourselves, we see it in everybody else. We see the beautiful face that comes in and smiles at us, and we see that presence of God right there. And so we know that divine love. That's the first two steps, recognition and unification. The third step is realization. And Pika brilliantly taught me one day that the third step is the therefore. If God is this and I am that, therefore, my life is a realization of spirit in the present. And so it's supposed to be heaven on earth. And this is the picture I can draw of heaven on earth today. I claim my abundance, my health, my well-being, my harmonious relationships, the expanding love in my life in all ways. And whatever way you think of to claim that realization today, that's your consciousness of what you're willing to accept. Of all the abundance that is flowing to us endlessly, this is the part I can acknowledge today. And so we use step three, realization, for the therefore, as our understanding of what our life can be today. And we say it in the present, and we say it in the positive, and we say it in the personal. So we say, I am, I have, I do, and create an affirmation. So step three of realization is like an affirmation. Step four is thanksgiving. When we get what we want, we're grateful. And what we're doing in prayer is appreciating that we already have the truth of all being, the beauty of all life, right here and right now. And knowing that, we feel grateful, we feel appreciation, and so we give thanks. That's the fourth step. And the fifth step is release, and that's what we're up to so far. And so I've had an opportunity to address release in my life this month, And it's amazing how many things I've been invited to release in my life this month. I always have to watch what I choose to speak on, because I'm always going to have it manifesting big time in my life, as I have this month. And I was so grateful for this opportunity to remember that every opportunity to release is yet another blessing and another door opening. So, as I move into this talk, I would like to take you into a little meditation on release. And so if you would just quiet yourself for a very short period of time and breathe deeply. Kate, would you do the bells for us? That would be nice. I rest my body. I take a few deep, slow breaths in and out, allowing myself to relax at a deep level as I do. I calm my emotions. I let peace and serenity flow through me. I put down any burdens I have been carrying that are not mine to carry. I grow lighter and freer. I let my thoughts grow quiet. As I relax my body, calm my emotions, and quiet my mind, I can more easily sense the light of my soul. My soul is with me now. Light flows from my soul into my heart center. That feels good, doesn't it? And when you feel comfortable, take another breath. And as it feels good, open your eyes. Or you can keep them closed if you'd rather. I probably sound better with your eyes closed. And so I always do a meditation on the morning when I sleep, and something new invariably comes forward that I rush around to complete in the morning before I come to speak. And what it was this morning was this little handout. And you'll see it says release. And then if you turn it over, you see it's both sides of the coin. There's release on one side and cultivate on the other side. Because when we try to release worry, what we're telling the universe is worry, 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 because the universe doesn't understand not. The universe understands focus. It's like if I tell you not to think of a pink elephant, what is the first thing you think of? So if I tell you to release worry, the chances are you're going to think about worrying, what you might have to worry about that you want to release. And if I tell you to release fear, you're going to think about what you're afraid of, and so on. So release is half of the process, making the decision about what you want to release. Whether it's any of these things, resentment, frustration, grief, negative what-ifs, criticism, uncertainty, struggle or conditional love, problems, attachment to outcomes, tension, focusing on the black spot instead of the big picture, or struggle, any of those things you want to release. Making the decision to release it is the first step, but then continuing to focusing on releasing won't help. You have to turn it over and go to the other side of the coin. and begin to figure out what the opposite of what you were doing that you want to release is. So what you want to cultivate then is the positive thoughts, because your mind is going to be thinking something probably the vast majority of the time. So you want to cultivate the kinds of thoughts that are uplifting, inspiring, and supportive, and allow them to come from a deeper place of quiet and inspiration and intuition. So you do that by cultivating connection to Source. And one of the primary ways we teach to do that is spiritual mind treatment and meditation. Resting in the heart of God is what I call meditation. It's coming back to that centered place. And I just realized that I didn't put meditation specifically. It was on the thing I was typing from this morning, but I didn't get it on there. So let's add it, because it should be there. Yeah, contemplation is good. My original one said contemplation and meditation, and I'm trying to fit all of these into the coin as I was typing this morning. Unconditional love is the opposite of conditional love. It means we stay connected to Source in spite of what the conditions appear in the moment. We don't get caught up in the facts, but we remember the truth. We focus on a broader perspective, the vision of Spirit, the love of Spirit. We move into a place where we cultivate peace of mind and also peace of heart and peace of body. If you heard the meditation, that meditation was from Oren and Dobbin, and they have a website. They do beautiful meditations. And if we quiet our body, if we relax our body, if we calm our emotions, and we allow our mind to get more spacious, what we're doing is integrating the whole of ourselves in peace. That's how I see it. I call it five easy pieces: peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of body are the first three. And when you get to a place where you're more relaxed and you are more peaceful in your mind and your heart, then you get peace of being. It integrates you. Physiologically, your body comes into coherence, it's called. Your heart rhythm, your breathing, your physiological function moves into a different state. And you become what they call a flow state. And in that place, it integrates all of your being. And at that place of integration of being, you have a deeper opportunity to connect to the peace of God that underlies all things. Five easy pieces: mind, heart, body, being, God. Peace. So how do we get there? We get there through some specific things that make it easier to get there. Gratitude and appreciation are among the quickest methods of moving into a coherent state of mind and heart and peace. If we appreciate all of the blessings we've already been given, it's so much easier to have faith and believe that more will be given. If we allow ourselves to see from a broader perspective, if we look at the big picture, we don't notice the little black spot that we could be focused on. We see how that black spot provides contrast and shadow. I learned this from painting. When I was painting, if I only painted with bright colors, nothing stood out. But if I added a few black shadows, all of a sudden there was depth of field. And those black spots give us contrast, allow us to see our lives more clearly, allow us to make more reasoned and aware choices. So we allow that broader perspective to expand. David said he learned about broader perspective on his own when he was 8 years old. I admire David so much. He had expansions of consciousness big time in his childhood that I somehow missed. And I love tapping into that knowing of childhood, because he said he learned that he could go 100 miles out in space and look back at himself and his life and see that he was making a big hairy deal about something that wasn't a big hairy deal at all. That it really didn't matter. So we can get distance perspective. We can also get time perspective. If you imagine your life 5 years from now and what you're upset about today, you notice that, you know, 5 years ago you were worried about something perhaps and you don't even remember what it is today. And 5 years from now you probably won't remember the minor upset of today that you're worried about, and you can let it go. Just processes that allow to let go. Another broader perspective is to try to see from the eternal infinite nature of who you are. And as we cultivate knowing more and more about that infinite eternal aspect of ourselves that we affirm every time we do recognition and unification in spiritual mind treatment, God is eternal and infinite, I am eternal and infinite. Wow, if I am eternal and infinite, what could I bring as a perspective to this situation from eternal and infinite perspective? Wow. I mean, if it looks a little better from 5 years out or 100 miles out, think of how it looks from infinite and eternal. Probably looks a whole lot better. Positive what-ifs is process that you can use if you've been negative what-ifing and thinking about all the things you could worry about a situation. Then you can change and look at positive what-ifs and see how good an outcome you can imagine to the situation. And if you can find 3 positive outcomes, I bet you can find 100. Because once you get to 3, you go beyond black and white thinking. And you move into shades of gray, and once you get beyond shades of gray, you move into millions of colors. Because there are always many, many, many more positive outcomes than we can imagine at the first blush. And so practicing positive outcomes and thinking more from a position of infinite possibilities, we can expand the way we think. Focusing on the bigger picture, I've always talked about, this should have been faith rather than fear. I laughing at yourself to get another one of those things that always come up for me when I speak. if you have to do it perfect, you probably ought to give it up. The stepping into faith, as Jack sang about, is as we understand our faith, as we see the possibilities, and then we take the inspired action based on those possibilities, then life shifts, things happen, things change, and we see things from a whole new perspective. So as we act on our faith, as we act on our intuition and our guidance, we develop faith and trust that when we do that, things are going to work out better, because we have the experience of it. And so we do what Ernest Holmes so beautifully told us about. We experiment with science of mind and this philosophy and how it works in our lives, because we see a new possibility and we pray about it perhaps, and we vision about it, and then we take the inspired action and we see that we move into a deeper state of mind, a more powerful place to live. We cultivate freedom, freedom of thought, freedom of action, and confidence and passion. When we are focused on what is true, we feel passionate about it. The energy moves in our lives, it flows, and it's graceful and it's glorious. And so we move into a place of deeper blessing and solution. We become a blessing to the world rather than seeking blessings outside of ourselves. We look for ways to bless others, to give in situations. We aren't always looking to receive. We are more and more open and full and have to give from our overflowing, because otherwise it's just way too much. And so it becomes a life of giving and receiving. It's a both and universe. There is joy in the giving and there is joy in the receiving, and we have all the experiences of joy possible. Moving into silence and stillness, when we feel less than calm, is such a powerful practice. Whether we do it through walking in the woods and moving into an altered state of consciousness in that way, or through formal meditation practice, or washing dishes. Some people are able to practice in every moment, and it's such a wonderful thing to cultivate that state of awareness that allows us to feel spacious in mind. I can't tell you what an amazing thing it was to me, having had this incredibly busy, receptive mind my whole life, where I was always hearing other people's voices about this, that, and everything else, to suddenly live a life where my mind is more quiet than not. That there are ideas that come to the surface, and I ponder them, and I cultivate them, and I love them because they're beautiful. But there's a space around them. My mind is not full a lot of the time. And that is one of the greatest gifts I've been given through my practice every day of Science of Mind for all these years, is that my mind is more spacious and my heart is also more spacious. There's room for more people, there's room for more experiences, there's room for more love. So cultivating that silent place, that spacious place, that wide and open space within us, gives us the opportunity to allow more good in our lives. More good for us, more good to share. We see synchronicity as evidence of flow. We've moved into that space where we're allowing, and amazing things come together in the perfect timing. And seeing those synchronicities happening, honoring them, putting stock in them. I love to talk about them. The more I can find people to tell my synchronicity stories to, the happier I am. Because in telling those stories, I'm affirming that experience. I'm saying to the universe, this is who I am, this is what happens to me. Because that's what we're doing with all of these things. We are telling the universe more powerfully who we are. And as we step into that knowing, as we step into that love, as we step into the laughter and the freedom, and I looking at Mimi, I got on the phone with Mimi the other day, and we were talking about going to a spa and getting massages and going in the hot springs. And man, we laughed, and we just were so excited about life. It is such a joy to allow yourself space and rest. And the one book that was most with me this week, rather than Ernest Holmes, of course, that has said all of these wonderful things on release and letting go, and the handout that you have to take home to contemplate in this month on release. The other book that really touched me deeply, and I recommend it more than almost any other non-Science of Mind book that I ever touch, is called Sabbath. It's by a man named Wayne Mueller. I saw him speak at the gathering, at the UCRS gathering last year. The subtitle of it is called Restoring the Sacred Rhythm of Rest. And he's talking about the commandment to take one day and rest. And I've been thinking so powerfully about that idea that we should have a day of rest. We should have a day of recreation. We should have a day of focusing on our values, on the things that are really important to us, where we allow ourselves to deeply relax, where we rest our bodies, where we relax our emotions, where we calm ourselves and we choose to focus on love and peace and grace in our lives, where we choose to focus on spirit. And he says, we are so busy as a culture that we never take time to rest and we wear ourselves out. And he is a minister and he leads a foundation called Bread for the Journey. And there was always more people who needed his help. There was always more until he exhausted himself and was carried off and almost died from viral pneumonia. And then he went back to work and he got caught up in all the good that he was doing again, and he got sick again and had to take time off. And then his father died and he had to take time off. Because the caregiver has to take care. Whatever we are doing, no matter how vital it is, no matter how many people need it, if we don't take care of ourselves, we cannot take care of our work. We cannot do the business that we are about. So taking the time to rest. He says, listen to music and listen to the silence in between the notes. The silence speaks powerfully. And if we allow ourselves the silence, we have the strength to take the action, to walk the talk, to do the work, to be inspired to the life that we are called to live. Our visions are so grand and we are meant to live them. But until we have the peace from which to take action, we will never find peace, because you don't take action for peace. Peace comes in the silence, in the stillness and the rest. Peace is the God at the center of all. And so you return home to center and you find peace. And then you're renewed and refreshed, and the passion and the action and the ideas and the vision grow. But if your life is too busy, I recommend this book tremendously. I sit with it. I've read it 4 times now. And every time I sit with it, it reminds me to stop. Even for a minute. Yesterday I took 2 hours and I went and read a novel by the pool. And I felt like I'd had a week's vacation. Mm-hmm. I was so busy. I was finishing my class that I've been teaching for the last 16 weeks, for a 13-week class. And I was tired, and I knew I wanted to speak today, and I wanted to have so much to give, and I was worn out. And I went and sat by the pool for 2 hours, and I read a beautiful book that was inspiring and uplifting and funny, and life was good again, and I was refreshed, and I had something to give today. So give yourself rest and peace. And if you get caught up in what you need to release, turn over the coin and see what you can cultivate today that will allow you to connect to that divine spirit within you that is the strength, that is the energy, that is the love you are here and I am here to express.